forbidding Islamically is unacceptable and culturally is an abomination if either of the party can't stay with his or her partner and start going outside. I think there's no need for both to be together. Destiny Vincent from Lugbe sends that in. Thank you, Destiny. Then to this one, said, I will delete both of them as far as my hands are clean. Meaning what, Emperor? Abegu. We don't do violence here. Right, we move on to this one. Emeka from NMPC Tower said, Ade Halo, carry on, Ade your back, well done. Thank you, Emeka. Mr. Godwin Obedience Structure from Area 11 said, I want to apologize to women that we men cheated on them. An average African man sees cheating as his right, whereas if a woman did the same, it's been seen as an abomination. If I catch my wife, I'll send her to her parents. That is why communication is in marriage, or in marriage is good. All right. Good afternoon, Swat. For me, if I caught my wife cheating, I'll just walk away for good. Never will I come, says James in Jabi. Cheating is both sides, but if it happens, and if I don't handle, if I can't handle it, I'll walk away from the same marriage, says Ambassador Afam. Then this one is Michael from Adelaide. He said, if it happens to me, or it happened to me when I was in Kano, I am my wife from Isoko area of Delta State. It was my wife that opened her mouth and told me she has been cheating on me. It almost made me mad, but it was she that wanted to commit suicide. I pet her on our way from Kano to our village. She was about going mad because of our culture, but one has to be man and absolve it. Okay, thank you very much for sharing, guys. Some interesting experiences. Our last caller, hello.
Hello, Swat.
Good afternoon.
Swat, good afternoon.
You're welcome.
My name is Omar.
Go ahead, Omar.
This topic is very weird. How would you talk my mind like this? Can you imagine? Hello, Swat.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm laughing, but I don't know what the truth is. Yes, it's against my pitch. I don't cheat.
Hello?
Yeah, but hello, sir, can you hear me?
Your voice went off. Hello, Umar?
Hello, Swat.
Wow, your line is really breaking.
Really better like that.
So what did you say?
I said, I don't cheat. Like, I don't cheat. But I catch my wife, God forbid anyway. Because, of course, to me, it's an abomination. To my religion, it is a no. In our application, it's a no to me. So, I wouldn't want to hear such thing. They say you do. They don't say true. You can't say with me, truth be told, you are going to your parents. 1 week drive, no discussion, no bed, no back, you know, nothing. I mean, for the fact that only cheat, no cheat on me.
Sorry. why are you laughing now? Why are you laughing?
Somebody did knock my head from back here.
Okay, because they know what you're saying now.
No, my friend did knock my head.
He knows what you're saying now, Omar. We know very well. Bye-bye. All right, thank you so much. This is the end of the show. I have to go now. My time is up. I have to make way for hard facts. Thank you for the contribution, guys. Let's make another sunny conversation tomorrow happen. Equally interesting, or even much more, shall we? Right? So many issues that are up for talking about, because we shy away from talking about those things. But they are reality. I mean, as much as we don't want to hear about it, it's an abomination. But people are people. Humans are humans. And we often have our weaknesses and failures, right? So what would make another human being want to end the life of another person on account of failing? Nobody's admitting that this is right. But aren't there other ways of handling such issues? And I think we need to ponder on that. Sometimes we don't like to, and I don't want to, hear about it, but you better open your mind. Nobody's saying it will happen to you, but what if it happens? Because as human beings, we should be open to the fact that our fellow humans will fail us. No matter how much you trust them, the only person that cannot fail is God. So as much as you don't want to even think about, but imagine a case scenario. And maybe that will help you, you know, mentally talk to yourself so that in case right? It's just about like death. When we talk about that, everybody says, it's not my portion. But people die every day. So please, let's think about these things and begin to accept the fact that if people fail us in such ways that are, it's full of pain, that there can be ways that we can handle it and overcome it without necessarily taking a life. Thank you for listening again. My name is Swat. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Make sure you take a good rest. Tomorrow is Friday and it's going to be a wonderful episode here on Sunnyside. I take my leave now. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Talk about the stories that make the news.
Just to give you a response to Okorocha's demand. Now says he doesn't want to join issues with Okorocha.
Follow the stories that break the news and stories that make great news.
The morale of the troops must be sustained.
Let's talk.
Please, they should do the needful. Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
This is Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Hard Facts.
This is Hard Facts.
Hard Facts. On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
How are you? Good? Great? Awesome? Fantastic? Feeling like out of this world already? Okay, I'm very happy for you. The two people I met on my way up into the office were super excited. One of them, I was even thinking maybe you won a lottery or something, but I'm happy for you if you're happy. All right, just find a way for those who are not feeling it. Find your happy place. That's all I can say. Welcome to the show, and I hope Nigeria Info is one of your happy places you go to when you want information, you want some bit of education, some sprinkle of entertainment. You get it here also on 95.1 Nigeria Info. On Hard Facts, it gets intense, but it gets light also. Intensity comes from the fact that we look at some of the big stories driving conversation. We have topical conversation about things happening in Nigeria, but we find a way to just, you know, let things, the steam out. If the pressure is building a little too much, we let the steam out on the show. So it's a healthy balance of all that you need and required. Thank you so much for staying with the show. My name is Kimberly Nwachukwu. You can call me Kim. You can call me Fellow. You can call me the Oracle. You can call me OTF. All of them join. And you're correct. And I'll be here till 7 p.m. For the incredible conversation lined up for today. My guest for the round table is already seated comfortably. I almost wanted to say sitting pretty, but hey. He's comfortably seated, I hope, in the studio with us. We have Nat Odaudu with us in the studio. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you so much, Kim, for inviting me.
Always a delight. Always a delight. Always a delight to have you join us on the roundtable as we look at some of the big stories in the country today. There's almost so much happening. Some days back, we were talking about Nigeria, debt profile. People were talking about the economy. We're looking at how much we're borrowing so much. And when it comes to international debt profile, where we've come up to number four from number five, it means that we're really borrowing a lot. The economy is struggling and all of that. So it got us talking as to what to look out for the crop of people who are coming in 2023. We need to look at those who have very sound plan, working with incredible team as to how they can salvage the economic situation of Nigeria to jumpstart the economy, ensure that more businesses pick up and thrive, and see how we can move into a country that is actually producing and exporting and not being too dependent on imported product as such. So, you know, the big thing, just starting off the conversation for getting to any of the stories, is what we need to look out for from this candidate as we head to the polls in 2023. I mean, how do you begin to really interrogate to get some substance out of every one of them so that people will vote right?
Okay. You know, Nigeria is in a dire situation. Mm. And in a clinical situation, you call it an emergency. Mm. Now, this is not an emergency of some kind of road accident that I didn't prepare for. I mean, it's like that kind of emergency that when you'll be having symptoms now, mm. you're down, maybe there's an organ failure in a person, mm-hmm. and then you are rushed to the hospital. Now, it's not the clinical doctors that will attend to you. At this point, a consultant will be waiting to receive you straight into the theater.
Yeah.
That is where, imagine Nigeria as that patient that is rushed to the hospital. We need somebody of that status, a consultant status, who knows what to do. See, when things were okay, every other philanthropic politician could manage Nigeria. Every other average politician could build roads. Every other average politician could promise you anything. But this time around, we know we have to look out for our best, not the one who will be giving out dollars or everything to be able to. No, Nigeria, we must accept that we have a problem and we need a solution. We need a man or a woman who can help us out. Mm. So what do we look out for? Nigeria has an economic problem. We need someone who can, who not just manage a group of people, who himself knows what the economy needs. You know, when Buhari came into power, he felt that the petroleum sector that had problems, so he made himself the minister for petroleum. We need a president who will be in charge of the economy, I mean, either directly or in the, but personally,
or at least have some knowledge of it.
Yeah, have some knowledge of it, because that is where we are. We need when we sort out the economic issues, a lot of political issues and even security issues will take order, like I said in the military, will take order. They'll take their position. You understand? So these are the things, that kind of person we must look out for. Now, Nigerians must not play with this. We must feel that it is our problem, not the other person's problem. At this point, we are not doing the politician a favor by supporting them. But we must look for the one that will favor us and support them.
All right, look for the other favors and support them. Let's jump off what the former president Olusegun Obasanjo said when he, saying anyone who says Nigeria is fine should be examined. I mean, there's no way you can whitewash it. The former president says Nigeria is yet to achieve its full potential. According to Obasanjo, anyone who says things are fine as they are right now should have their heads examined. He spoke yesterday at the Wilson Badejo Foundation 15th annual lecture in Lagos that Nigeria is not where it's supposed to be today. If anyone says it's okay, we are at the moment, then the president's head needs to be examined. The former president was quoted as saying, according to Obasanjo, Nigeria must vote for the right candidate in 2023 because the progress of the country is at stake. It's either we make the right choice in 2023, because we make the right choice, we'll get there. However, if we do not make the right choice in 2023, things would consume us and would pray against that one. We must make the right choice come 2023. My friend late Ahmed Joda used to tell me that God has given us everything a nation needs and there's no need for prayers, because if God has given you everything and you squander it, then something is definitely wrong with you. And I told him that even at that time, we still need prayer as a nation, because what is good needs prayer. And on the other side too, we still need more prayer. In May, Obasanjo said Nigeria needs a leader who is passionate about the country. It'd be nice to sit at his feet and ask him, expatiate, sir, on what you mean by passionate.
It's the same kind of analogy that I gave earlier. You know, I mean, like, you know, starting from the background, you see a man who's abusing drugs, who is taking the wrong diet, wrong lifestyle, and you've been warning the person, and you say, listen, this kind of lifestyle will take you in this direction. And we say, no, our debt profile is not that bad yet, and we are still this giving us statistics that does not matter, as an excuse to borrow more. Here we are now. That patient is in an emergency situation right now, based on the things that we ignore. That the person would rather pray. And can you imagine, the person was living a wrong lifestyle. You say, listen, you need to stop this. You say, no, it's God that can save a man. I mean, life is for the living. And you keep excusing yourself.
Exactly.
And then you end up on the emergency table. Even though prayer cannot be ruled out, but something must be done. A consultant must be called in to take charge of that. If there's a prayer to pray at that point, is to pray that God will give the consultant the right wisdom to attend to you, because you need it. So we can't fold our hands, like Obasanjo is saying, and say we'll begin to just pray. The preacher will say that faith without works, at this time we need works. In addition to our prayers, we need a lot of work, and we need even God's intervention now, because, I mean, human effort alone might not help us, but we need human effort, then God will assist us.
And yes, we actually need to put in the human effort, because Nigeria moved up one spot to the latest top 10 International Development Association borrowers list. We talked about it during the week. IDA, part of the World Bank, helps the world's poorest countries. And according to the organization's recent release financial statement, Nigeria is the fourth most indebted country with $13 billion debt as of June 30, 2022. Last year, Nigeria was fifth, but we've acquired and accumulated an additional $1.3 billion in debt within a year.
Yeah.
So went up to number four. Vietnam, that was number four, came down to five. Apparently, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh apparently improved. Ours accrued in terms of indebtedness. So there's a lot of work that we need to do in-house to ensure that we channel these monies we're borrowing right into something a bit more productive that can jumpstart, you know, the economy also.
Kim, obviously, it seems to me that even these monies that you are thinking of us channeling have already been mismanaged. I keep saying we are in a dire situation. Now, okay, let's even imagine the ones that were invested in infrastructure.
Mm.
Can you recall how much we borrowed for the Abuja-Kaduna rail?
You know, you mentioned it not.
Yes.
If you're looking at it, they even had to cut down the Lagos-Ibadan because of diesel. Get that.
You understand. So now the train, we're supposed to pay part of these debts every day. And for how many months now, they have been shut down. Apart from the extra expenses in fixing the railway that we are you know, and we cannot even run Ibadan Lagos to full capacity because we don't have diesel to run them. Now, this particular infrastructure was supposed to service the debt for that one. I am not talking about the debts that maybe the part of the accountant, what of the accountant, former accountant general may have stolen.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the ones that were borrowed and were shared in some scammy, how do you call it, social welfare programs that this government embarked on to cover up a lot of mismanagement. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the ones that we have done to take railway to Maradi. I'm not talking about the one that we have taken, you understand, to do most of these things. So, see, we are in debt. Our children are in debt. Their children are in debt. And like I keep saying, we need an intervention. We need that kind of person. All we need now is leadership. It's going to be a long journey for us. But see, if you are on a long journey, from you are driving from here to Lagos, you understand, you know the journey is going to be far. But if you started driving from Abuja and you are in Lokoja, you know you are on the path. If you get to Kaba, you know you are on the right path. But if you finally see yourself in Kaduna, while you are going to Lagos,
it's a longer route.
You know you are not making progress.
Exactly.
You are not on the path at all. So right now we think we are going to Lagos and we are heading towards Kaduna, maybe heading towards Zaria and Kano. You understand? It's not the path. We need the driver that will redirect Nigeria back to the right route and lead us there, so that we know that our suffering will have an end. We know that though we have to endure now, but we are on the right path. At this point, we have derailed, and we are heading at a very fast speed in the wrong direction.
Okay, the derailment is a function of, is it poor planning?
Political leadership.
Okay.
Purely political leadership. We have the best of the potential. I agree with Obasanjo. We have the best of the men. But like I keep saying, and I said it on this program before, we are in a country where the worst of us rule the best of us. And there's no progress we can make at that point. I mean, you can imagine you have a well-trained pilot in an aircraft, then being manned by someone who does not know what he's doing. You know the kind of frustration you will feel if you're in such an aircraft. You would definitely beg this particular pilot to please step aside. Let this passenger, who is a better trained pilot, rescue us or rescue them from collapsing. That is what he will do. That's what Nigerians need to do now.
Right.
We need to beg the status quo to step aside.
begging the status quo to step aside. And one of the presidential candidates is talking about the state of the economy, talking about Peter Obi. He says the federal government should restrict borrowing to a statutory 5% of the previous year's revenue. He disclosed this today on his verified Twitter page, warning that Nigeria must limit borrowing for consumption. And in 2020, the federal government exceeded 3% fiscal borrowing threshold because of COVID-19 pandemic. The fiscal responsibility law provides a limit of 3% debt threshold for sustainability. But the president can exceed the ceiling if there's a clear and present threat to national security or sovereignty of nation. The presidential candidate also warned that most states that received fiscal bailout did not invest them properly. As a matter of urgency, Nigeria must stop borrowing for consumption, but only borrow to invest in regenerative development projects and other productive ventures. It's ironic that states that received fiscal bailout did not pay the loans and are still borrowing beyond their revenue earnings. Also, it's become imperative to restrict federal borrowing to the statutory 5% of the previous year. In 2021, Obi advised the federal government to invest the fund being borrowed in profitable ventures to enhance the nation's socioeconomic development. What are profitable ventures? Hopefully, it's time for him to expand on some of these things also, so that we'll see where we're headed with these people. We need to have really critical conversations with some of these presidential candidates as to how much knowledge they have of this or the right team. Because sometimes you can't have all of the knowledge from security to economy to all what it takes, but you have fine minds with you who are perhaps at this moment putting heads together, helping you draw up from your manifestos to critical areas where Nigerians want to engage you in. It's important to look at that.
I think, fortunately enough, most of the people, all the leading candidates of the political parties, are people who
from the APC, PDP,
Labour. Look back and say, listen, these have been managers of human resources properly to achieve. Oh no, we didn't have such stories in time past, but at least we can look at this one and say.
Yeah.
But Obi's intervention, I want to be optimistic. Mm. I want to say, listen, it's a right intervention. But a part of me is saying maybe it's rather too late, it's rather coming late. Mm. But he has been saying the same thing before now. If we restricted ourselves to what even our own laws say we cannot go beyond, but we look for excuses to go beyond that. We look for,
if we're not producing, do we have a choice? If we're not generating money already, when it even comes to oil, because of banditry and theft, we're not making as much as we should from even the oil sector.
When banditry started, whatever they call banditry started, see, they euphemized it, gave it a beautiful name.
Let's take a break. We'll take it off from euphemizing it after this commercial break. Stay with us. All right, still here on the round table, Nat Odaldu is our guest analyst. And yes, we're talking about euphemism. Downplayed the gravity of
Thank you. That is a thing. We didn't approach it with the right. See, it's like a sore that starts like a blister. And you ignore it, you play politics about it, then it becomes cancerous. And then you are looking for solution. You had the solution, but attending to it at the point when it was a blister. This is where we are. We had the solution. We knew what to do. It is, like I said, I don't want to say it's too late. If we had invested in production, then we have the capacity to produce. But we would rather play politics with them. Look at some of the, you're talking about some of the, is it Paris reform that were given? Look at some of those times.
To the states.
Some of these states were given, especially the APC state, I can say that clearly, were given some of these things close to election, and it was clear.
Well, Rivers State is not APC state, but you also
got I mentioned some of the states, you understand, because I recall Rivers State.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his was not given before the election, particularly. There were states. Kogi State.
Yes. Well.
Just weeks before the election, these monies were released to them. To give, and many Nigerians believe that it was to give them an edge in politics, in the election. So it was not, at least that which was given to Kogi State, who was owing months of salaries, was not meant for production. It was meant to win election. And so maybe it was
that's what you perceive.
Yes, it was deployed in with in line with the intention, as I perceive.
So those are the things that we do wrongly. I mean, where the state government, instead of facing development, they decide to face religion. And you keep ringing the bell that this, we are creating crisis for ourselves and our future. No, they would rather also blame the past administration instead of taking responsibility for the current problems.
Mm.
So it is also appalling, like Obasanjo said, if anybody say that Nigeria is in good position right now, they need their health exam. We still hear a lot of these, some of these spokesmen appear on TV to say, listen, we have done very well, and that somebody is going to continue from where another person stopped, and they'll have to force them to, they'll have to eat their word later and put the blame on the media for being misquoted or quoted out of context or this and that. We must do away with these shenanigans. And so if Obi, who is making recommendation, if by God's grace, if he gets the opportunity, then he may decide to implement some of those ideas, you understand, when it comes to power. But if it's a matter of voicing, I think Obi has been really loud in voicing out some of these ideas which he has been talking about. So if Nigerians give him the opportunity, he may implement them. Or if another person gets the opportunity of ruling Nigeria, maybe he also may come in with some of these ideas and share with them.
All right. You know, you did mention the Paris Club reform in passing. We have, you know, was in the news that the president has suspended the $418 million Paris Club refund plan as ministers clashed during the Federal Executive Council meeting. And the governors complained, they says their complaints are baseless, mere noise making, according to the AGF, who has had to respond to that. This controversy has been dragging on for a very long time. Surrounding the Paris Club refund continues. The Attorney General of the Federation and Minister of Justice, Abubakar Malami, has carpeted state governors and accused them of crying over milk they had already spilled. Malami said the governors were not in a position to complain about deduction from the Paris Club refund because they collectively hired consultant who aided the refunds. The minister said this on Thursday when he was featured at the ministerial media briefing organized by presidential communication team at the presidential Villa Abuja. He said the governors, acting as the state chief executive, created a debt liability whose payment they have already indemnified. And addressing the controversy caused by the recent deduction made from the refund, the minister affirmed that when the Nigerian Governors Forum asked for refund, one of the components was the settlement of the consultant who was engaged by the forum. Malami recalled that when the refund was paid to the state, part payments were also made to the consultant. However, he said the governors later decided to stop payment while asking for an out-of-court settlement. Remember, some years back. The minister said this resulted in request to the president to make the payment, a request he said was then passed on to the office of the AGF for legal opinion. Malami noted that after being subjected to necessary check, it was found that there were no element of fraud involved and explained that the indemnity of the governors was also sought and received. And so there's a presidential directive that payment should not be made, and then in breach of that position, payment were perhaps arising from the conspiracy between the AGF's office and the Minister of Office, which is something that they brought up. So he said they informed first as the antecedent prevailing circumstance and how the liability arose. But one thing I'm happy to state, which I want to reiterate, is the fact that the Office of the Attorney General and the Minister of Justice, I'm trying to get the rest of it, had, you know, that secondary judgment, I beg your pardon, let's go back a bit, that the Office of the Attorney General and the government of President Buhari has not indeed incurred any major judgment debt for the period of 7 years that it has been on. Now, coming to the antecedent background of the Paris Club, the liability or judgment debt related to Paris Club were indeed a liability created by the Governors Forum in their own right, and all of that. This has been dragging on for a very long time.
You recall.
This is just about settling the consultant at this point in time, and we're still going back and forth.
Yeah.
Now that the president has given the directive about the suspension of it, let's see what happens next.
But you know, there was some level of alleged complicity of the Attorney General in the hiring of that consultant, which the governors allege
Now, so it's been this back and forth. It was me, it wasn't me. Innocent, it was you. Kind of allegations that were going up and down. But you know, when the governors were asking for this parish reform, it was like a beggarly attitude. So you felt like, you could compromise everything as long as you get the money, which you need to spend it now. I remember the Ekiti former governor Fayose begging and shouting everywhere about the fund. You understand? And then we knew some people, who got it just like on a platter, with a lot. So there could be a lot of compromises at that point because of the conditions or the situation of being given. Now, the money is gone. And it's time to repay. And then we are saying, no, when you gave me the money, you actually took this part. You were responsible. That kind of a thing. I said, no, it was part of the agreement.
But it was part of the agreement. So at this point, you start to wonder, why are we quarreling over what to pay the consultant when we already agreed in the first instance? You should have been interrogated, like you said.
To have been interrogated at that point. But because of
the desperation at that point in time.
To getting the money, they overlooked a lot of things. We have heard stories. We've heard the relationship with of the consultant, with some, kind of a thing. So, but that is the situation. But see, if there's anything the former governor of Lagos, Bola Tinubu, prides himself about is that Lagos State may not be part of those who are crying for, understand, looking for how to survive in these times because of the revenue it has generated. And governors who looked inward to say, listen, what else can we do with our states to generate resources will not be part of those crying and not with this beggarly attitude. And it's time to also look at the situation of the states. If states cannot sustain themselves, if they become bankrupt, they should dissolve them and merge them.
Okay, when you mention dissolve, them into oblivion or
merge them with other states because, so that they can come together. Most of this, the mismanagement of our resources is in politics. You can imagine if we had only one governor instead of two governors. We will have one deputy instead of two deputies. That is, two states were merged. Then look at the number of aides that will be reduced. Look at the number of assembly, the number of men, people in the National Assembly and the State Assembly from this state that could be reduced. The number of the bureaucracy, the civil service, the ministry, you understand, that could be made leaner. Because money is spent more at the highest level where there are few people.
But then you also look at the fact that we're also a federation and you want government to trickle down to even the smallest unit as such. If you merge two large states together in terms of population but not economically viable, you start to wonder how, beyond, minusing all of the cost of governance, how, if you don't have people who are capable of generating ideas, we will still be the same prequel.
Okay, there are issues raised in this, your question. Let's talk about number one. The large number, the state itself.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a population and you cannot manage that population into productivity, there's a problem at one hand. See, let me tell you something. I don't believe that we are 180 to 200 million people.
You think we're more or less?
I think we are far less than that.
Oh, really?
Far less than that. These figures are often bloated for these reasons of negotiation. And so, look at the elections. Look at the number of registered voters. And no matter how the turnout is, look at the Oshun election that we say, the turnout was high. How many people did we have? It was so high, we had about only 50-something percent of voter turnout. Despite the large number that came out. You understand? So when technology is applied to some of these figures, they begin to depreciate. You understand? And so forget about the numbers. If you are not viable, you are not viable. You understand? Was it Kano and Jigawa? We're of the same state. You do understand? Until one was created. And even Jigawa was broken down. There was at a point. It was one state. At a point, the northern Nigeria was managed by one person.
at a point the whole of Western Nigeria was managed by one person. And if we have any sense of good leadership in Nigeria's history, it was limited to those times. So we're talking about states that could survive. A lot of states have been able to look inward and say, listen, there are things we can do. And they will not be crying about Paris reform. Any state that has been driven into such level of bankruptcy should face the consequence. Unfortunately, it is not the leadership that will suffer. It's the ordinary Nigerians like me that will still suffer. So we must wake up and choose. 2023 is an opportunity, and I keep making the call. I wish I came with a megaphone so that Nigerians will hear louder that it's an emergency situation and we all must be involved in it. Don't sit down for any politician to come and convince you to vote for them. You choose now based on your experience, based on what you know and what you want Nigeria to become.
All right, the World Bank is still insisting on its own position about this petrol subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
Says that the current petrol subsidy regime poses an existential threat to Nigeria.
Yes.
According to a report, Raju Awachi, senior public sector specialist, domestic resource mobilization, World Bank said this at the virtual pre-summit theme, Critical Tax Reform for Shared Prosperity. The event was organized by the Nigerian Economic Summit Group on Wednesday. The petrol subsidy claim amounts to 2.6 trillion naira in the first half of 2022, a figure above crude oil sales receipt from the NNPC. I mean, let's just understand what we're dealing with. The federal government has projected to spend 6.7 trillion on petrol subsidy payment in 2023. And as she said, Nigeria is an unfavorable economic situation wherein, due to dwindling revenue, the continued payment of trillions of naira on fuel subsidy by the government and the attendant economic challenge, and maintained that Nigeria would have no choice but to get rid of subsidy as soon as we can do that. So, is it something that we need to look out for the aspirant 2023? Who
will bail the card?
Because it is an unpopular position to tell Nigerians are removing subsidy, because it translates to the price of everything goes up, you pay more for petrol, and the ripple effect.
The last time
which of them would look us in the eye and say, I'm going to do that?
We mentioned this case at one of those of my visits, and I said, listen, I've heard this subsidy removal 8,000 times. There were times I actually, even as a journalist, believe that subsidy has been removed.
Yeah,
you understand? And then later we go, no, we haven't removed subsidy. It's just an increment of petrol price. The more the prices of petrol goes up, the more the subsidy goes up, the more they come with the government. The government is saying, listen, we don't even have much revenue, we are going into debt. And so this economist is confusing. And the only person at the receiving end is the Nigerian citizen. So first, before any politician or any government will say we want to do subsidy removal, we want to see accountability. We want to see transparency. See, if there is transparency, Nigerians like me and every other Nigerian will clap on for subsidy to go. Because these monies, they are fraudulent and they are entering into few. I mean, this government that we have came on the wings of an allegation that the former administration was fraudulent in the management of subsidy. And the figures, compared to what we have now, was just a little percentage of what we have now. Yet, prices have doubled and gone up many times. That price of petroleum product. Yet, subsidy is going up. And if they try to explain it to us that it's because the price, international price of crude has gone up, or the international price of petrol has gone up, and so the price, the traditional price of refined petroleum product will also have to go up, then why are we not making so much money that we are selling crude? Why are we still in debt if that was the economics? It's confusing to us. So I will not stand here and clap my hand or sit down here and clap my hand to say, listen, subsidy must be removed immediately. All we should ask for is transparency in the management of our product, oil wealth. If that is done, we will accept. So, in fact, there is no, for me, whatever they call subsidy is scam. We are not enjoying anything. We are not benefiting anything. But whenever they mention it, because they want to increase our suffering, they want to increase the pressure on us. They want to, they're going to increase the LB, they have done it, the telecom tax.
Pantami is opposed to it. So that's going on. The operators are telling you the cost of running business and all of that is forcing their hands to do that. So at some point, they just might.
So they will. And who bears the cost? You and I. So, any politician that comes to talk about it, except if you are preaching on the fact that, oh, when I come, there will be transparency. Not just promise, not just a bogus promise. Tell us what you will do.
Because they would need to make some very hard calls, decision, which I don't think Nigerians are just not ready for. It's already, things are economically tied to the average Nigerian.
Spoke about selling the refineries. In when he contested at the point,
2015,
I guess.
He was talking about.
And they say, ah, this man want to come and sell our refineries. Everybody, they use it as propaganda. Now, what is on the table right now? The same thing. After mismanaging it for how long?
Well, not technically the same thing, because the government still has some level of control, even though it's going to run as a commercial entity.
We have some
entity.
Level of control over what is not working. Yet we have spent more than Dangote may have spent in building a refinery on managing 4 comatose refineries.
Over the years. Okay.
Even in recent times.
Well, in recent times, I haven't checked the breakdown to see what we put into fixing and maintaining the
In the last...
Say from the Port Harcourt refinery.
How much was budgeted for Port Harcourt refinery?
2 point something, I can't remember the exact figure. I need to get it out to revamp the Port Harcourt refinery. Yeah, I will get that figure out.
When would that be done? Within this year, this government's tenure? Where is the money? What have you made out of it? How much does it cost? How much did Niger Republic spend to build a refinery? That is part of the supply chain for Nigeria's whatever. How much? How much is Dangote spending to build the biggest refinery? I mean, how much?
Okay, $1.5 billion to rehabilitate and upgrade the Port Harcourt refinery complex.
Yes. $1.5 billion to rehabilitate. You understand? So that is the kind, and you will see a lot of money going to consultancy where, because you cannot account for that, a lot of money going to this, into this and that. We bear the brunt, so that's why we are complaining.
All right then. Before we open up the phone lines, let's look at our last story. Ex-governor Jolin Yame Dare released from prison finally. Recall they were granted presidential pardon. The former governor of Plateau State, Joshua Dare, and ex-governor of Taraba State, Jolin Yame, have been released by the Nigerian Correctional Service. They were serving jail term for corruption allegation until they were granted a presidential pardon by President Buhari a few months ago. The Council of State had approved the pardon alongside 157 other convicts in April this year. The former governors were convicted by Justice Adekola Banjoko of the Federal High Court, Abuja, in 2018. Dare was convicted of stealing 1.16 billion naira while serving as Plateau governor from 1999 to 2007, sentenced to 14 years in prison, but his term was eventually reduced to 10 years by the Court of Appeal in Abuja, while his conviction was affirmed by the Supreme Court. Yame, who was Taraba governor from 1999 to 2007, was convicted of stealing 1.6 billion naira from the state treasury and was sentenced to 12 years in prison. The judgment was upheld by the Supreme Court. However, they were granted a presidential pardon and finally out of the correctional center. Now, barring any last-minute change, former governor of Plateau State Senator Dare will declare interest to contest the Plateau Central Senatorial seat. Is that even still possible for him to even contemplate at this point in time?
Yes.
What? Fresh out of prison?
Oh.
And then you can still run for office?
I recall that
corruption allegation.
I don't know whether it's the last primaries. Then he got the ticket while in prison. for a particular party.
Because now they're saying the presidential seat on the platform, Senator Dare will declare interest to contest the Plateau Central senatorial seat on the platform of the Labour Party. Dare, former Taraba governor, okay, were released and all of that. So this is just maybe, let's just work with information coming from some sources. It's not a fair, yes. He's not said it just yesterday, yet.
It was announced that the Labour Party just announced its gubernatorial candidate for Kaduna State, and there have been changes. In some of these substitutions are going on. So even if they had before, it can be substituted. I think there's still some time
window
for that, and so they are taking advantage. So before I could say go and think no more, they are back into politics. So it's
no, but I'm surprised that I would be particularly surprised if Labour Party would be quick to hand over. Yes, it's a presidential pardon. It means your sins are forgiven.
Yeah,
your record is blotted. It perhaps will not be on record, say for us who always remind him that you were once in prison for corruption allegation. But this is someone who was convicted for corruption. How do we even trust you to represent again in the Senate after that?
Unfortunately, see, the Nigerian political system goes this way. You have a bad governor or a president, then it is replaced by a worse one, and then you begin to think, oh, the other one that was bad is better than this, and then the worst came. I say, wow. So Dare is still very popular in Plateau politics, I can assure you that. So any party will want to identify, even with his corruption, the load on his. But see, like the presidential pardon is, it's like as if he has never sinned. So that is who he is right now. So we can only beg all advice. Please, let our ecological funds be safe this time around. Yes. Thank you.
Well, apparently it was from the ecological fund that he pilfered. If he gets into the Senate, which I will be shocked.
I hope he will not be chairman of ecological funds or committee on ecological funds or any kind of funds. I mean, he could be in charge of many other things. But see, let's keep our monies away from some
of those people. But why isn't it as a nation we take the fight against corruption seriously? I don't care if it's a presidential pardon or what.
Because we don't have a system.
So telling people, like, if you have gone through this, we need to find more and more people. We need to have them convicted. We need to have them dealt with. And then we need to put them in their place. There are 1,001 people who can actually legislate for any state and any constituency in the country. Why do we have to recycle same old people, particularly people who have even dented their record in terms of service?
Because they have stolen enough to be able to contest election and win. You haven't stolen. Even you don't have that opportunity. You don't have the record of being in power and having stolen government money. That's why good people come out, contest and lose. And the bad guys always win and come back because they have the resources. Until Nigerians realize that, listen, we must go beyond money politics and save the future, save Nigeria. Now that it's in an emergency situation, we will not move forward. They will still come back from prison. The next one will be a terrorist who would have been given presidential pardon and will come and win election.
Well, at least we do have bandits who claims to be repentant and was giving a chieftaincy title of some sort.
Yes.
Might just look inward if we're rewarding bad behavior in Nigeria. Let's open up the phone line, shall we? 0700-951-0000 is the number to call. If you're in the diaspora, you're female, you can call us via WhatsApp also. 0809-993-0137. You have just 1 minute to make your contribution. Hello. Yes, you're welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon,
sir.
God bless you. I think if I am not that NBC and Kim will not allow me to see what I want to say to them, why didn't they advise the president to be confident of their salary? Why is it that only or mass they should remove subsidy with that much salary? Other countries that they are living life, that they are enjoying themselves, how much is salary in Saudi? If I remember the other time, why was two comparison with Saudi, Germany, like Mohammed saying, how much is salary in Germany? They should please be careful. My name is Sadi. I would have to say, I want to ask you a question. This marketer, who are they? This subsidy money that the Minister of Finance is always talking about, where will she pay into? And how many this marketer are? And where do they come from? Are they Nigeria or not Nigeria? Secondly, let's agree that allegedly, according to you, Kim and Swan, let's say that he is not the owner of this refinery. We know all of them, and then they use all the richest people in Nigeria at the front. How much is he using to fix this refinery? Does it mean that Kosei has money more than your Nigeria? That's my question. At this market, where are they? Let's go see their face.
All right, Adeomi. Thank you very much. If I manage to find a way to say what he has to say. Let's hear another caller. Hello.
Hello, Kim.
Welcome to the show.
God, thank you. This is Ali from this Al-Haji. And good afternoon to your guest over there. Hello?
Go ahead, Ali. We're listening.
Thank you. I am with my own take about the state of economy that your guest is talking about. It's talking about the price of petroleum. I think your guests should realize that we are in global village and what is happening all over the globe. Even as I'm talking to you now, in most of African countries, we have people who are lamenting and protesting about the cost of living. But thank God that this administration came in. When we are here talking about production, I think this is the time Nigeria is having the highest peak in producing rice. I wonder if there is no, the government has not made implementation or central bank has not made implementation of bringing rice. What will have happened by now? Even if it is cost. So what I'm trying to say here is that we are in a global world, and all over the world, we are facing high costs of living in terms of pricing of petroleum, in terms of cost of living and whatever. So I think we should be talking positive. Anything we talk, it should not be negative. It should be positive towards a better Nigeria. That's my own stake. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's hear another caller. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon. The lady with the
good afternoon. Was, welcome.
Ibn Ali. Let me react to the headline that said the former state government governor contesting for senatorial seat again.
It's not contesting, but there are speculations.
Eh?
There are speculations.
Okay, speculation. You know, in Nigeria, almost anything can happen. When you start hearing things like this, it has happened before, and you cannot say it will not happen again. But you see that they have started how they will corrupt the Labour Party again. The way they did in 2015. That is how eventually if Labour Party won presidential seat now, you will see many of them suffering from one political party to a Labour Party now. And at the end of the day, we will still be singing the same song we are singing now. It is quite unfortunate. I don't know when we are we going to sit down and say, okay, let's all start to run ourselves the way the other people are running their country. It is when we sit down that we sit down and ask ourselves, how do we want us to live as with the global world? Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Ibn Ali. Let's hear another caller. Hello.
Hi, Kim.
Welcome to the roundtable. What's your name? Let's talk.
You see, I'm picking it up from what the last caller said. This thing about Labour Party. My fear concerning Peter Obi and Labour Party. If we cannot have a party system that can be governed by ideologies in Nigeria, a party system that would make people be affiliated by not how much they can bring or how many stolen money they can bring, then we'll always go back to the same problem. It's a very terrible situation. You hear, I was thinking maybe he will say, okay, APC or PDP, you're going back to Labour Party. So can we just end the charade? Kim, hold on, I need to be working before NBC concourse.
All right, so no wahala. Bye-bye. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon and welcome to the roundtable. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Oriku.
Ah, you're welcome.
I'm working from Gwagwalada.
Welcome.
We have lack of sincerity. Those in government, they are not sincere. They are pursuing their personal interests.